Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
Well, good morning. My name is Tim Barton. I'm the lead pastor here at The Vine. And if I haven't met you, I would love the privilege to do so following the service today. As I was thinking about this morning, I thought back to when my children were younger. I know I do that a lot, but I thought back to when my children were younger, and I had gotten up on a Saturday morning. Sometimes I would get up and do breakfast for them on Saturdays, but this morning I was still trying to finish my sermon for the next day, so I was actually down in our basement, and as I'm down there, it's about 8 o'clock now, I start to come up the stairs, and I hear the children in the kitchen, which was always a scary thing. They were still pretty young at the time, but I hear them in the kitchen. And I start to come up the steps, and I hear one of them say to the others, "No, no, no, let me do that part. I want Dad to see me doing that part." Right. So what I found when I got up there was our boys were making breakfast for us, as you some have experienced, and that's always interesting. But what struck me, and it strikes me as I think back on that, is the son who said, "No, no, no, let me do that part. I want Dad to see me doing that part. I want the recognition, the approval of Dad for doing that part." Now, we hear that with little kids making breakfast and we laugh, right? But how many times do we think, "Oh, no, no, I'm doing that and I want the recognition of other people seeing me doing that"? Or how many times do we think, "No, no, I'm going to control this situation so I can keep things comfortable and secure"? The extent to which we do that is the extent to which we can't do what we're going to see this morning. And that is that those living intentionally in God's kingdom will humbly serve God. Remember, we've been in a series, if you haven't been with us, where we're talking about the kingdom of God, and we're talking about what does it look like to live in this kingdom. So just a reminder, the definition of the kingdom: the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that is seen with the realization of God's rule and the submission to God's reign in the hearts and lives of His people. All right? And so living in this way requires us to live in surrender. And Jesus, in this sermon, we've seen, has been talking to the disciples, those around the disciples who would hear, and he's been addressing the Pharisees and the way they've taught that people should live in this culture, live in this kingdom of God. The Pharisees, if you remember, had been saying all through chapter 5, they had been Jesus had been correcting their view of the law. He'd been saying, the Pharisees say, or you've heard that it said, the Pharisees say, add all these other things to the law of God, and that's how you make sure you're keeping things right and doing things the way you're supposed to do it. And Jesus said, but I tell you, and he's been correcting that view. Now, today, as we move into chapter 6, he's switching, or he's adding, he's building upon that, and he's saying, he's correcting their religious-looking actions now, the things that look great. And he shows them, you're only focused on the things that you think make you look good, or that you think help you keep your security, your comfort, your control. And Jesus is going to tell them, I'm going to tell you now, and then we'll unpack it as we go. Jesus is going to show them that if you are serving those things, the extent to which in our lives we are serving those things is the extent to which we cannot serve God. We cannot humbly serve Him. So what I think Jesus does in the section we're going to look at today is he breaks it down into two main categories with examples in each one. Different than normal, I just call this out today. I'm not going to read the whole passage up front. We're reading chapter 6, verses 1 through 24. I'm not going to read the whole thing up front. I'm going to read it in pieces as we go. By the end, we'll have read it all. All right, so first thing we see that Jesus is pointing out here is that you cannot serve God and recognition. Okay, You can't serve God and recognition. He gives a warning about doing that in verse 1. So here's what he says. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So what Jesus is doing is the Pharisees, it was known that they called it their way. Now, this was later, the Christians are called that. But in this case, he's saying they're talking about their way. And their way, Jesus is saying, is not how living intentionally in his kingdom works. He's telling them, you're doing great outward actions, things that would be great if you were doing them out of humbly surrendering to God. But Jesus is saying, if you think, though, that people need to know about it, if you think people need to see it, you're not actually serving God. You can't be, because your hearts are all about yourself. All right, so for us today, as we consider this, we need to consider the places in our hearts where we're doing something that might be good, it might be noble, it might be right, but then we're looking around thinking, I sure hope someone sees me. Or we accidentally drop something into a conversation as we're talking. Oh, I let that out. Because Jesus is showing us that those places in our hearts indicate our Pharisaical tendencies in life. Let me also say the inverse is also true, that we need to make that when we want to make sure someone knows what we did not do, right? Same thing, it's just the other side of the coin. Or when we want people to know how well we did compared to others. So he's bringing all that out. And what Jesus does is gives us three really clear illustrations that all apply to what the Pharisees were doing. And so these illustrations are all things that were pillars of Judaism. They were all good things. They're pillars of the Christian faith, right? You're going to see that in a minute. So they're all good things. And Jesus isn't condemning the things. He even says each time he introduces it, and when you do this, because the presumption is, as being part of his kingdom, we're going to do this, but when you do this, don't do it this way. And that's what we're going to see. So three illustrations. The first one, you can't serve God in recognition in giving. Verse 2, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So the person Jesus describes here is the model of generosity towards others. All right, and so, well, I say he's the model. That's at least what this person would want other people to think about him. Because he wants everyone to see what he's doing, and because of that, he hires a trumpeter, right? A trumpeter to go out before him. And it is like you see in the movies, you know, it's like most of the time it's in a royal thing. It's like, dun, dun, dun. Everybody look, everybody pay attention. Something important is coming after this, right? So he hires a trumpeter to go before him to proclaim, everybody pay attention now. Watch what this guy does, right? That's the idea that we see going on here. In our culture, what might that look like? In our culture, maybe it's a press conference. When I hold a press conference to make sure everybody knows what I'm giving here. Or in our culture, maybe it's posting about our gift on social media to make sure it's captured for all the world to see. Maybe others will write about it. Maybe it'll go viral. Won't that be great? Jesus is saying that when we do that, the gift may look great on the outside, but when the plan is for attention, when the plan is to get everyone to look at you and to see how great and dutiful and religious you are, Jesus is saying we're not actually serving God at that point. Who are we serving? Ourselves. The gift has become about helping yourself, not about helping someone else. In fact, what we're actually doing is not giving a gift at all. We're purchasing recognition. Now, let me also say that we hear these things, right? And our tendency can be to get really legalistic now, right? Let me explain. We do things at this point, it's like, okay, we hear this, okay, I want to do better. So then we start, our minds start racing. It's like, well, can I post this? Oh, I don't know, can I post this? What if someone else posts it for me? Well, what if I tell my brother, whose teenage daughter, if she hears about it, she'll probably post it, and maybe you know, I don't really have to tell her to post it, I don't have to ask her to post it, but I know she'll do it, and I'll get the recognition, right? But that's not Jesus's point. That's not his point. Jesus is saying, it's your heart that matters. It's my heart that matters. And God always knows the heart. Do we understand that? Always knows your heart. Now, let me be clear. God can use gifts given for the wrong motive, from the wrong heart motive, to help people. You know how I know that? He does it all the time, right? People give all the time, and God still uses it to help people, even though they gave it with the wrong motive. But as individual followers of Jesus living in his kingdom, as we need to check our own heart motivations regularly, daily even. And we need to be repenting when we find ourselves trying to get others to notice what we are doing, rather than just serving God humbly and letting him give us the recognition in our church, serving him humbly, letting him give the recognition. Somebody else might call it out, they might not. Children with your parents, in our marriages, in our work, serving God humbly and letting him give us the recognition. The second example Jesus uses about recognition is in prayer. Look at verses 5-8 now. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, Jesus is describing here someone who loves to pray. Is there anything wrong with someone who loves to pray? No. In fact, as followers of Jesus, we're all called to it, right? And there's nothing wrong with praying with other people. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. What he again doing is calling out, what he again is doing is calling out the heart. He's saying, you may be someone who prays with great zeal, with great fervor. You may be very eloquent in your prayers. You may be way more intense and passionate than others when they pray. And if your private prayer does not at least mirror that intensity, or maybe even surpass it, because you're continually surrendered to him, then it's highly likely that your zeal for prayer is more about receiving recognition from others than it is about relationship with God and seeking him to work. So Jesus emphasizes the prayer before God. You notice he says, go in the closet, shut the door, no one can see you. What he's emphasizing is that the prayer before God, when you get no recognition at all, that's a much greater indicator of your heart than your public prayer. And so we go to him humbly, simply, surrendered to him. He knows what we need, is what Jesus says here. Before I go on, I'm going to go ahead and say this because it's going to seem weird otherwise. I'm skipping the Lord's Prayer, and some of you may be like, what? The reason for that is because we teach on the Lord's Prayer here pretty often, at least once a year. And you can find that on our website. You can find it in different classes and things. And so I'm not going to unpack that right now. I'll just only to say this. It is a model of prayer that Jesus gives us. It's also a prayer that he tells us to pray. If you are having trouble praying, genuinely just open your Bible here and pray this prayer. And then ask him to start helping you pray portions of this prayer, and we can help you with it if you want to talk about that. Come see me. Now, let's go to the next thing. Okay, we're skipping now down to verse 16. Third reason you can't serve, third area you can't serve God in recognition, Jesus says, is in fasting. Look at verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right, so notice again, Jesus says, when we fast. Right, this is one of the disciplines of being in the kingdom of God. Fasting is a good thing for us. What it means, very simply, in this case, he's talking about not eating for a period of time for the purpose of pursuing the Lord intently, for the purpose of understanding that he is the one we need. Right? He's the one that provides everything for us. He's our sustainer. When we fast, we are going without food. All right. Now, how many of you in here ever get hangry? Okay. Some of you raised your hand and others nudged the person beside you. All right. What Jesus is saying here is when you get hangry, so to speak, don't purposely walk around gloomy, looking distraught for the sake of getting other people to notice what you're doing, talk about how bad it is, right? He's saying, everyone, look, instead of doing that, when you're fasting, the modern equivalent of what he says is, go take a shower, put on deodorant, wear your normal perfume, your normal aftershave, whatever. Do your normal things. Why? Because you're not doing this to gain recognition for what you're doing. If that's all you're doing, you've already gotten the reward you're going to get. What we need to do is go before the Lord in our deep need for him. So Jesus uses all these illustrations to hit on places where the Pharisees were really proud, things they thought they were doing so well. And you might have noticed the word hypocrite in each of these sections. It came in verse 2, verse 5, and verse 16. And it's a word that comes from the Greek theater. Most of us know what it means, but it's Jesus is what he's doing here is saying, don't be theatrical. Be genuine. Be genuine as you pursue these things. Don't do spiritual things for recognition. Do them because you are growing to understand that it's in these disciplines, these things the Lord has given us. It's where we grow in our purpose for living and doing so from the power and the grace of God. And so we run to these things. Because of that, what I want to say is that we need to regularly be searching our hearts for the places where we're seeking to use spiritual things that look good on the surface, that look good to those around us, for the purpose of gaining recognition, for the purpose of gaining reputation before men, rather than living our lives focused on having hearts that are surrendered to God and devoted to humbly serving him, even if no one ever notices. Even if no one says, well done. So we can't serve God. We can't serve recognition. The second category, Jesus says, keeps us from humbly serving him. He said, we see in this context, you cannot serve God and control. Right, I believe here Jesus uses three examples again of ways we try to keep control. Right, this is in verses 19 through 24. So three examples where I think he's showing we try to keep control for our comfort, for our security. First comes in verses 19 through 21. We try to keep control by having treasure in the wrong place. Verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's saying the important things in life are not what we accumulate here. Whether that be physical possessions, things that make us feel secure, things that give us comfort, they're not necessarily bad things in and of themselves, even. Sometimes they're gifts from God. But, as one pastor theologian put it, the more we gain possessions to feel secure, the more we act like we must keep them for control and security. Therefore, the more, when they're threatened, we feel the need to guard them. And Jesus is saying, if that's what gives you security and control, your heart will always be earthly minded. You won't be able to surrender to God. You won't be able to humbly serve Him. Second way we try to keep control, verses 22 to 23, is looking at life in the wrong way. Look at verse 22. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What Jesus is talking about here is looking at life with spiritual eyes, looking at life the way God views it, not looking at life with a man-centered view. Just camping this weekend with some friends, and we were up in the mountains around a little small lake, just a beautiful picture, a little small lake, and then down in the valley and then up around the mountains you have the leaves changing colors, just absolutely gorgeous as you're sitting there looking at that. So later that night we're sitting around the campfire, and I was talking about that. I've just been out there fishing a little bit, and I was saying, man, it was just gorgeous out there, and the colors changing and everything else. And one of my buddies goes, he looks at me and goes, yeah, I'm colorblind. I can't see any of that. When we look at things through a man-centered view, we're colorblind, so to speak. We cannot see the beauty of what God is doing all around us. When we look at life with a man-centered view, we're looking at it the wrong way, and what Jesus is showing here is that then makes it like a disease of darkness for our whole body. When we look at life with us as at the center of it, what do? If we're at the center of it, then we are going to do everything we can to keep control and comfort and security. And when we try to do that, we cannot humbly serve God and others. But when we look at life the way God does, when we realize that we live in this kingdom, surrendered to His way, we will see and begin to sense more and more the light that Jesus is talking about here. We'll begin to reflect that light to others, and we will begin to see the beauty of what God is doing. We'll begin to trust that He's for us. We'll start to relinquish our attempts at grasping for control, and we will be able to surrender to Him. We'll be able to humbly serve and be about His kingdom and His glory. All right, the third way we see that you cannot serve God in control, or the third way we try to take control, is serving the wrong master. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is calling out that when we choose by our actions to say that something has priority over our lives above God and His way, we are serving the wrong master. Whatever it is, we're serving the wrong master. We're trying to maintain control. When that happens, it pulls our worship from God. When that happens, it pulls our focus in life from Him. It pulls our trust from Him, away from Him and His kingdom. And Jesus says, you can't serve both. What Jesus goes on to show later in the section that Pastor Mark's going to take up next week is that not only can we not serve it, when we try to, it leads to deep anxiety. It may not even look like what our culture calls anxiety. It may not be the clinical definition of anxiety because, frankly, we are a pretty high-functioning society riddled with anxiety. But I can tell you what it will do. It leads to a life that is always unfulfilled because we are chasing what cannot satisfy. And it will keep us from seeing the beauty of what God is doing, the beauty of the way God can be at work in our lives. So if I bring that all back around, our outward actions might look great. They might suggest that our whole heart's focused on the Lord, but inwardly, when we are doing things because we have a desire for the praise and recognition of others, and inwardly, when we're seeking to maintain control for our comfort, for our security, both of those things will keep us from surrendering our lives, and it is going to keep us from seeing the beauty of God's redeeming work, the beauty of what He can do in and through His people. And y'all, the reality is it leads to a miserable existence. You may not realize it yet, but if you're living there, you will. It will come at some point. Let me also say that every one of us has this at some places in our lives. Every one of us is trying to get recognition somewhere. Every one of us tries to get comfort and security from other things. Even as followers of Jesus, the point here is, are we acknowledging that? Are we repenting of that? Are we asking Him to help us find it in Him and Him alone? You see, the problem for us is that we believe the lie. What's the great lie? The first lie. You can be like God. You can be the main guy. You can be the one that has control. The lie is God's trying to keep something from me. God's withholding from me. God won't let me have power, control, approval, pleasure, and joy like I want it. God won't give me the amount of this thing that I think I need. And so I have to find it by seeking recognition from others from all the good I do, or I have to find it by putting things around me to make me feel comfortable and secure. And y'all, there are all sorts of things out there and approaches that can help with this, but there is only one remedy. And the remedy is the gospel. The remedy is that Jesus came, lived the perfect life that we couldn't live, that He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, our pursuing all these things, and that He rose again, defeating the power of sin. So as desperate and as helpless as it feels right now, you have approval through the work of Jesus Christ if you are trusting Him. You have security that only He can give, that He will not leave you or forsake you. We get to learn to grow, to trust that that is enough. And the more we do, we will see in the middle of the ashes, in the middle of the brokenness, there is a beauty in God's redemption. There is a beauty in His story. All of us need to be asking, Lord, help me surrender to You. Help me to surrender to Your way. Help me then, Lord, to humbly serve You, finding all my recognition, my security, my approval I need in You. When we do that, we can be free to share it with each other, to walk together, but if we can't, we won't. And so I encourage you, as we get ready to come to the Lord's table, think about those places, ask the Lord to show you those places where you're seeking recognition of man, or where you're seeking to keep comfort and security through some of these ways we've talked about. As He shows you those, repent of them, and then we'll come to the Lord's table together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pause before You today, confessing these places in our heart . And Lord, we can only do that because of who You are, because of what You've done for Your people. Lord, You tell us in our word that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we come to this table this morning because You have cleansed us. We come to this table not as people who have it all together, but, Lord, as people who have acknowledged our sin before You, who recognize our desperate need for You, Jesus, and who come in celebration of what You've done, asking You to keep changing us. And so, Lord, minister Your grace to Your people as we come today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.